Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is an absolute pleasure to be here today. It feels really great to be back on air. And we have a really interesting show today, and I'm going to introduce my guest, Caleb Barlow, Director of Unified Communications from IBM. So he's going to be here. And so this is airing live today on Friday. This will be recorded and archived, of course, as all of our shows. You could find this archive at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy. You could find me on iTunes as well by searching Alan Levy, and Twitter and everywhere else. Of course, content needs to be everywhere because that's where people are. People are everywhere. So today we're going to talk about unified communications for the enterprise and really understand what this means, what are the implications for us, and kind of what can we expect. And it's a fascinating area of analysis. And if you kind of think about Blog Talk Radio platform, our technology is such that it's really unifying people, and it's a communications tool, and IBM really is the forefront of this. So why don't I bring Caleb Barlow on? Caleb is Director of Unified Communications and Collaboration at IBM, and he actually hosts a show on Blog Talk Radio. You could find it on Unified Communications, and Caleb's here. How are you, Caleb?
Hey, Alan, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on the show today.
Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. So you're a host on Blog Talk Radio, and I think I said it right. It's at what, blogtalkradio.com, what was that, /?
It's /. Unified Communications.
Unified Communications. So you define, you are the unified communication expert here for us at Blog Talk Radio, which is wonderful. So thanks for taking the time to our audience. You can call in. We'll take some calls later on if anyone would be interested. I'll provide the phone numbers now. It's 1-866-691-7714. You can call that toll-free number. Sherry is screening the calls, and she's in the switchboard, and you'll hear from Sherry if you call in. So, you know, towards the end of the show, we'll be taking your calls. So, Caleb, why don't you kind of give us a little intro yourself and what your role is at IBM, and kind of let's get into it.
Sure. So my job is to oversee our unified communications and collaborations products. So what is that? What does that mean, right? Well, unified communications, you know, you do a lot of talking, Alan, about, you know, social media and social business. And if you think about where unified communications and collaboration come into this, it's the set of tools that you use in a business context when you're ready to do business right now. So, you know, you think about blogs, wikis, forums, microblogging, Facebook, Twitter, Blog Talk Radio. I mean, these are all very powerful tools. They help you find people, assess expertise, get educated, and, you know, even form and manage a team. But at some point, you got all this information coming at you from all these different sources, and you need to take action and communicate. So whether it's new information on Twitter about your competition, a blog post from a customer, or the need to respond to an urgent situation, unified communications is kind of an adaptive business communication tool behind your social business. So it's going to allow you to establish communications right now. Now, that could be voice, could be video, could be an instant message, could be a web meeting, could be a combination of the above. But these tools allow you to find those people, again, in a business context, and have an immediate interaction with them regardless of where they're located, what device they happen to be using, or what their preferred mode of communication is, right? I mean, there's some times that I might want you to call me on my cell, but other times that I'm in a meeting and, you know, you could send me an instant message, but don't call my phone because I'm in a meeting. And unified communications figures all that out. So it's kind of like the traffic cop of your communications, Alan.
And how long this is a fairly new industry, really. I mean, you know, we've been using a lot of these tools, of course, email and video and chat and other things. But, I mean, how long has this really been put together and where you can kind of call it a unified communication application or platform?
Well, believe it or not, we kind of pioneered this space starting back in the late 1990s. We acquired two companies, Ubique and Databeam, that really, you know, specialized in kind of the instant messaging and web conferencing piece of this. And it's grown from there. And I think, you know, the thing with unified communications is as the Internet's emerged, as all these social services have emerged, the ways in which we communicate continue to grow. So although it's, believe it or not, actually not a new thing, it's actually a fairly old thing, it continues to morph in new ways. And, you know, our flagship product is called IBM SameTime, and it's used by about 125 million people around the world. But, you know, again, that's going back, gosh, a little over 10 years. But the platform continues to evolve. The new things that everyone is really paying attention to today, I think everybody's kind of familiar with the concept of instant messaging and certainly email. And I think most business users are familiar with, you know, web meetings and sharing slides. But the new stuff is really integrating voice into your communications in that the phone and the computer really aren't two separate devices anymore. They're really becoming one thing. I mean, I'm not talking to you on the phone right now. I'm talking to you on my computer. And,
right.
You know, that gives me a lot more functionality, and it gives me a lot more flexibility into how I want to communicate.
But you could use a phone, like I'm using a phone for this tool. I'm dialing in using a phone, and you're dialing in. You're using the computer to talk. But so your technologies or these technologies bridge all these different technologies in kind of one area that people can consume and use within an organization.
Well, right, and you know, a lot of this is making a decision on what's the best way to communicate. So let me give you an example. So. If, let's say I need to get a hold of you urgently about a situation. Well, you know, the old way would be pick up the phone and try to call. Well, maybe you're not there. Maybe you're in a meeting. But with these tools, they provide presence information. So I can actually tell, you know, so I've got a console in front of me and there's 400,000 IBMers around the world. If I want to talk to somebody, I can see live, they're in a meeting, they're on their mobile, they're not available right now. They are available right now. I can see they're on the phone. I can tell when they hang up, when they pick up the phone. So I have more options to say, oh, well, Alan's on the phone, or Alan's in a meeting, or Alan's in a meeting on the phone. Why don't I instant message him instead, or why don't I send him an email? But, you know, these things are going to start to extend into social context as well. I mean, think about,
right.
You know, think about something like, I want to congratulate you, Alan, on a new promotion, let's say. Now, the old way would be I send you an email. But, you know, first of all, it's not very personal anymore. And, it, you know, we all get too much email. It kind of clogs things up. The new way to congratulate someone on a promotion is let me post to your wall, right? You know, so you're getting this combination.
Right, so post your wall, but what our audience would see that as Facebook, right? But
that's
you're
right.
Saying like, post your wall on Facebook, but what you're doing at IBM is saying, well, now that wall or your own news stream or flow or status is going to be on your intranet behind the firewall. So within a company, you got a promotion and we work together, I can post it on your wall. It doesn't hit Facebook. It could maybe if we wanted it to, but it's going to hit your wall inside the company. And I think that's really cool. I mean, because I want to get into a little more about social tools, but one of the other questions that I had here, and it's, you know, I've read a fair amount on unified communications, and a lot of questions arise around the return on investment. You know, why should a company get, you know, kind of move into the unified communication space? Is it a, you know, how do they measure return? Is it in productivity, or what's your view on that?
Well,
big question. It's hard.
That's a very big question. But it's important. It's very important. And here's the interesting thing with this, right? So, you know, the old way people like to do this was, of course, you know, productivity improvements, you know, faster lead times, getting to your customers faster, and things like that. And those are all very true. And they're all very valid. But there's some new things that are emerging that I think are really move the needle way beyond productivity. So the first thing to think about is no matter where I am, in a hotel room, in my home office, in my real office. I have all the same tools at my disposal. So I'm actually working out of my home office right now, and I have the exact same functionality, the exact same access. I have a single phone number that works anywhere in the world, and all that just works. So that allows me to not have to travel in the office every day, you know, offset the cost of an office, travel, commuting, all of that. The second big value proposition, though, is something called toll bypass. So let me give you an example of, let's say you were an HVAC contractor. So you've got, you know, 50 trucks out in the field driving around all with mobile phones. The cell phone bill is very material cost to that company. Now, the same thing would apply if I was a large enterprise with thousands of employees traveling around the world. That's a very substantial cost. And interestingly enough, the cost is higher because people are initiating calls from their cell phones. They're not using kind of a corporate plan. Well, when you use something like Unified Communications, I actually don't initiate calls from that cell phone. You know, what's happening is I'm typing into an application on that cell phone the phone number I want to dial. That's transferring that information on the data line, and then either the PBX back at the corporate office is calling me on my cell phone, so I'm offsetting or bypassing that toll and roaming charge, or I'm not even using a cellular call at all, and I'm having that be a complete end-to-end data call. And, you know, for a large enterprise, this is millions and millions of dollars in cost savings.
Mm-hmm. Right, so you know, you're seeing productivity, in, of course, improvements, but you're also seeing real true cost displacement. One of the things that, you know, I think is very important here, and I was just curious how it's addressed, is what you're really talking about is changing behaviors, right? You're changing the behaviors how people are using tools, and that's not easy. You know, a journalist, someone who writes for newspapers, you know, who's been doing it for 30 years, has a note, has a pad, the small little pads, they conduct these interviews, you know, but now, you know, you're looking at saying that these drivers or these cars, these cab companies, use these new sets of tools. Again, it may be ones that they already have, which is a phone, but you are changing behavior. So how does IBM and how do you recommend companies address this whole concept of changing behavior?
Well, you know,
which will lead to more adoption, of course, and consumption of the unified UCC tools.
Well, you know, this is a tough one, right? I mean, and what's interesting about this is that some of it is impacted by age. I mean, certainly, you know, anyone coming out of college collaborates in a very different way than someone over 40.
Yeah, they don't use. They don't even talk on the phone. I mean,
they don't even talk. Exactly.
Right.
What's
no
the phone?
Right. No talking.
So, you know, so this naturally has an impact. But also, you know, I think one of the things that's really starting to change things is that generation that grew up net native has now been in the workforce for a while. And they're really getting to the point where, you know, they're moving up the ladder. They might be in their first management job. They're starting to make purchasing decisions for the company. So this
right.
is a huge influence, right? Now, the other thing that's happened is, you know, those of us 40 and above have started to figure out, wait a second, you know, these young pups are onto something here.
Right.
And look at how fast they can assemble a team and collaborate. So, you know, what happens historically is someone tries it. Someone starts to see the value, and then it ripples very quickly from there. And now here's the other thing, Alan. If you're a company that's not using these types of tools and doesn't have a social media plan, you know, honestly, you got a problem because these are not only offensive tools in business, but they're also defensive tools. I mean, I have seen situations, and I have enacted situations where I've wanted to go after one of my competitors. And when you do that in a social way, if they're not prepared for it, you know, you can really cause havoc on a competitor without them even knowing what's going on if they're not participating in the social world.
Mm-hmm. And IBM, and just, you know, again, I maybe you could talk to this point. I don't think you or IBM was really leading this. I mean, from what I've read, it was a while before, you know, they got it. But over the last few years, it's high priority. And I heard you speak at a conference at Lotusphere, and it kind of reminded me of Microsoft in the early days, kind of not really focused on the internet, right? And but then, you know, and it may be too late. I know it's not too late for IBM, but certainly, how is social? What's the pervasiveness to social throughout IBM, and your view towards that?
Well, this is an interesting question. You know, IBM, this is very much a situation where this is changing IBM in, frankly, a very dramatic way. I mean, you know, there's 400,000 IBMers around the world, right? But I can access, now think about this for a second. I can access the profile, the expertise of 400,000 people in seconds. So, you know, if there's a topic I need expertise on, maybe I'm going into a customer situation and, you know, there's a particular technology that I don't understand and I need to find an expert. Or if I need to get a hold of someone right away, or, you know, I even want to see maybe what one of our researchers is working on and follow their work, all that is immediately accessible at my fingertips. So, you know, this honestly has changed the IBM company in a pretty dramatic way. And, you know, it's tools we use day in and day out. We're in a situation now where a very large percentage of our workforce is at home offices or mobile offices. Now, that obviously has a huge cost offset.
Yeah, sure.
In fact, one of the biggest things is the IBM company has stopped paying for phone lines into people's homes because we don't need to anymore. We've given the employees the tools. It doesn't matter where you are. I mean, no one even thinks to ask, are you in the office today? Because there's so many ways to connect.
And it's interesting. What's also interesting about it is when IBM deploys technology there, of course, as being the largest technology company in the world, you're a use case for any of your clients. I mean, isn't that right? I mean, you kind of use these tools, you bang them around, you figure out the use cases and you deploy it, and then you go out and you're selling them. So, you know, which is great.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, people are always scrambling internally to get on our internal pilots because they want to try out the new stuff because it has, you know, such a big impact on what they're doing. So, you know, we call that dog fooding, if you will, you know, eating your own dog
food. That's right. We do it here at Blog Talk.
I'm hosting
a show on my radio network, and to eating my own dog food. And
that's right.
You're my guest. No, but I mean, I'm familiar with the phrase, and no, it's good. And so maybe you can describe some new stuff that you know. We've talked a little about some of the transcription stuff. I mean, what are you seeing out there? You know, we know the Facebook, the delicious tags, the Facebook, the chat, and video. But what are you? What kind of interesting things are you seeing that maybe have to do with mobile or other like semantic? Anything interesting out there that you're seeing?
Well, I think there's a couple of big picture trends that, you know, I'm paying a lot of attention to. So, you know, the first thing you got to think of is in a world that's soon to have 7 billion people, 2 billion are connected to the internet, but there's 4 billion on mobile phones.
Right.
So you think about that for a second, okay? You know, if you're a company like us building applications to access people, you know, there's an extra 2 billion people that I can hit on a mobile device. And when you start looking into emerging geographies, you know, that's where, you know, that's the platform people are deploying first before they have a PC.
Right. So mobile, focus on mobile is any company that's looking, you know, is kind of globally here, technology, it's mobile is, or any company really, focusing on mobile is key.
Yeah.
I fully agree.
That really strikes me that I don't think people are thinking about yet in a business context is video. So we've all had the experience of, you know, connecting the kids with the grandmother using Skype or something like that. And, you know, video has moved from being kind of a novelty to something people just get. But, you know, what's about to happen with video is it's everywhere. So not only is, you know, video now getting put in, you know, all these smartphones and tablets, but, I mean, you're almost getting to the point where you're hard-pressed to buy a laptop that doesn't include a camera. And these cameras are getting pretty good. I mean, if I connect my Mac up, I can join a, you know, high-end room system from somebody like Polycom or RadVision and participate really on par with folks that are sitting in a real expensive room system and have a video conference and, you know, participate that in a very robust way. I think video is the other thing that's really going to change the culture. You know, this isn't going to be so much of a technology thing. I mean, the technology is already there. But, you know, where the workforce moved remotely, we all stopped traveling as much over the last 5-10 years. We all tried to save costs there. We lost a little bit of that human connection of being able to look at somebody face-to-face. And I think video conferencing is going to bring that back in a very significant way. And, you know, the time is definitely now for video.
So the notion of the big rooms and, you know, the 100,000 fit out, you know, fully fit out Cisco rooms and, you know, telepresence, I mean, that's really moving away. We're moving away from that, right? Where you just,
well,
you know, you're on a laptop.
We're moving away from it.
What's your view about that?
Well, I actually think, you know, if you look at any projections on room systems, they're actually very positive. And, you know, the vendors that provide them are all doing quite well. I think it's really the issue was if you wanted to participate in one of these meetings, you had to go and be in one of these rooms. Well, you know, now you can be in one of these rooms, or you can be in your office, or you can be at home, or you can be in a hotel room.
Right.
You know, the other thing here that changes a lot is tablets. You know, we're all comfortable taking an audio conference from the airport, and we've all kind of done that before. But were you really going to join the presentation and kind of flip slides or present remotely? I mean, that was kind of hard to do. You know, there's a lot of technology that we'll be bringing forward. We demoed a lot of this at a recent conference in Orlando where, you know, you sit there on a tablet and have a full fidelity experience in a meeting. And, you know, the nice thing about tablets is, you know, they're just easier to handle. They're easier to take with you. They're far more mobile than hauling around a clunky laptop. So this
sure.
is the other thing that could make a big difference in this space.
Sure. My guest today on the Alan Levy Show is Caleb Barlow. He's Director of Unified Communications and Collaborations for a small little company named IBM. So he's been here as our guest. We have a few moments remaining. We can take a call later on. If you like, you can call in. The 800 number is, or 866 number is 1-866-691-7714. Many of the people that are listening to the show, Caleb, are hosts on Blog Talk Radio, and they're part of this community. And as when I made the introduction, you are a host on Blog Talk Radio. So maybe I can ask, like, how did you find the platform? What you know, why is IBM interested in this, or why are you interested in this? You know,
so
you have all tools out there,
and there's a couple of things that I think, you know, you and the, you know, the other hosts on Blog Talk are starting to figure out, right, is we've all been in the business of having, you know, web conferences, you know, kind of the marketing web conference for years, right? And, you know, that is historically an expensive thing to do, you know, by the time you get all the people together and you pay for all the toll charges and all the phone lines. And, you know, there really haven't been great tools that people have put in place for getting that out there once it was done, you know, if it was recorded and people wanted to listen to the recording. What I think is really interesting about what you and, you know, the others in this community are starting to figure out is how do you take this content from a meeting and now syndicate it out there to the world so that it has value after the meeting, and at the same time provide some value of a cost offset by streaming it versus having to have everyone dial in and listen to something at the same time. You know, so I think there's some really interesting ideas there that you guys are starting to pioneer, and, you know, we'll have to all see where this stuff emerges.
Right. Well, thank you. No, I appreciate that. And again, you know, we're having a conversation, and when we created the platform, you know, when I looked at podcasts or audio, and many times I listen to them and they're flat. They're not that engaging. Someone's using a digital recorder, and turning the phone into a publishing platform where we could have it's more of a conversation. I think it makes it more engaging. And, you know, so, you know, I'm happy that you guys see it interesting. And, you know, our community itself, I mean, you know, you're a guest on our show today. You're highlighted on our homepage. But Donald Rumsfeld is also on Blog Talk Radio today. So we've got some notables here as well. So, Caleb Barlow, Donna Rumsfeld. I'm sure you have different political. I don't know if that's a good
or a bad association to make, but I'll leave that one out there.
Right, exactly. So we have a few minutes left, and I wanted to talk about, if it's okay, I wanted to talk about Watson and the Jeopardy thing, which I find fascinating. Now, some people I've spoken to say, what's so fascinating about it? It's a computer. I mean, of course a computer is going to outdo a human. But why don't you just give our community a little background on it and kind of what happened and what's your thought around it?
Well, you know, Watson was a – you know, we like to take on these big challenges every now and then. And, you know, as many people are aware, the one prior to this was taking on a Garry Kasparov in chess. And, you know, this was a four-year effort. I'm sure we spent, you know, a lot of money and time in IBM Research figuring it out. But what this really does is it looks at this, you know, this isn't can a machine beat a human. This is all about really looking at the concept of language translation and interpreting language. And I think the thing that Jeopardy brings to the table is you have to really understand the nuances of the English language to understand how to parse and process this information. So, you know, it's a movement forward from a science perspective. And in fact, you'll see a bunch of announcements out there on, you know, new ways that we're already starting to think about taking forward the learnings from Watson. I mean, one of the things that I'm kind of intrigued by in the Watson effort is that, you know, think about something like this podcast, right? What about the idea of having this podcast automatically transcribed as we talk to it and have the tagging and the meanings pulled out of it more than just the words? You know, that has a lot of implications, not only for someone that might be deaf or hearing impaired that wants to participate, but, you know, think about the concept of search. I mean, podcasts are darn near impossible to search unless you transcribe them.
Right, or create a lot of metadata around it, which we know. I mean,
and you really require a person to create that metadata if it's going to have any meaning. But, you know, you take a look at what Watson did, and, you know, you really start looking and go, well, the science is emerging there to do just that type of work.
Yeah, that's a fascinating thing. And so we talked about some of your tech labs over in Israel and others kind of thinking through these things. And I see, right, it was Watson's thinking about it, that can be then transcribed and used for metadata and search. It's very fascinating. So how long did it take to kind of build this? And what kind of resources? I mean, how many engineers are involved in a program like Kasparov or Watson? I mean, unless it's proprietary.
It's not proprietary, and, you know, I honestly don't know. The information I've got is probably about
hundreds
out there on the web. My guess with things like this, I mean, this was done in research. That team went up and down over time. I think the bigger question really is going to be how many people are applied to now go take this and turn it into business opportunities. And I expect that number will be quite large.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. We have another minute remaining, so we can kind of wrap it up here. And I thank you for participating in this. And I was a guest on your show a few months back, and I wanted to return the favor. And I know our audience certainly is interested in this whole space, and they may not know, you know, the unified communication languages and what's going on in the enterprise, but many of your companies will be using these tools, and many of them are. And you know, you're at night, or during the day, you see Facebook. You'll start seeing it, you know, in your office. But it may not be called Facebook. It's going to be called Same Time. So
that's what I hope.
Caleb, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks a lot, Alan. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Wonderful. And that was Caleb Barlow, Director of Unified Communications and Collaborations at IBM. You're listening to The Alan Levy Show. Again, you can find it at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy or on iTunes. I'm on Twitter at Alan L. Levy. I'm the founder, CEO, and radio host, the first radio host at Blog Talk Radio. So thank you very much for joining me, and have a wonderful day.